Chapter 74. Darrow. The Hunt.
Got two of the Gorgons atop the Acropolis, but you know, if Diomedes left us hanging out to dry, we're well and truly slagged, Severo says. You know that, right?
I don't answer. There's no point. My bloodlust is on, and what will be, will be. Wind whistles through a crack in my helmet as we eat into Far's lead. He was a speck in the sky before I set off. As he passes over a complex of blue-painted domes on the edge of the island, he is now large as a coin.
Our boots are faster, but I'm not sure we'll catch him before he reaches the Pandora.
That's fine. If Diomedes plays his part, we shouldn't have to.
If.
The Pandora hangs low over the sea, only a few clicks out from the islands. It is the only warship within the security cordon. If he lands and cocoons himself within that fortress, it will take an army to pry him out. He will glass the witnesses of our fight. I will lose, and all the people in the deep will die.
If.
Black thoughts race through my mind. Was I a fool to trust Diomedes? Athena? Were the submarines not as stealthy as the Calabar promised? Were they spotted after all? Are my allies dead on the bottom of the sea? I laugh at my spiraling brain.
Boss, do we break off pursuit? Severo asks.
In reply, I accelerate past him to take point. A moment later, a pupil of light winks along the shadowy topography of the Pandora's green hull. Severo, Cassius, and I break in separate directions as a particle beam meant for us cleaves through the gloom.
Boss,
Severo asks as we come back together. Just over a kilometer separates Far from his onrushing reinforcements. Already the air fills with toroids of superheated plasma. Railguns scream toward Severo and me, leaving behind blue-tinged contrails. We weave through the incoming fire, but the fusillade does not last long.
Diomedes has come, as he said he would, and so has Athena.
From a distance, their arrival is a peaceful sight, one that could almost be authored by nature herself. A flight of pods fired from deep-sea submarines slips up from the water. Unnoticed, they blossom to disperse their payloads. Hundreds of tiny, pollen-like specks float outward. Only when the specks form up together and streak toward Far's reinforcements do they hint at the menace they bring. Man-made thunder peals as Diomedes, 36 crack peerless golds of Europa, and several hundred black owls in mech suits and power armor hit Far's reinforcements from behind. The chaos is immediate. A dogfight swirls to block Far's path back to the Pandora. Far still intends to push through it. Then Diomedes and four golds peel off the dogfight and race directly toward Far. When he sees them coming, Far abandons his route back to his ship and swerves away toward the nearest island to seek refuge amongst the tribe feasting there. To buy himself time, he leaves behind the three Gorgons who accompanied him on his flight from the duel. Diomedes and his four golds streak for the Gorgons. Severo, Cassius, and I follow Far. We push our grav boots for all they're worth, closing to within 20 meters by the time Far crosses over the sea wall of the island. We pass low enough to see the expressions of confusion on the faces of two Askamani pissing off the edge of the wall as they stare at the nascent firefight in the distance. They nearly topple over as we rocket past. Libraries and shrines blur beneath. Far lowers altitude, weaving through black stone buildings to try and shake us, heading for a plateau aglow with fires and striated with ranks of long tables. The feast here is in full swing, and the din tremendous. Bonfires glow and crackle. Slaves ferry huge platters of meat and flagons of drink to their violent masters. The Askamani gorge themselves under totems to their tribe and sub-tribe, many sitting at long tables, others sprawled out in the parklands beneath the great statue to Hera. I fall upon Far just as he reaches the feast. We crash down onto a table. Wood splinters, wine spills, meat cascades around us as we beat at one another. His elbow slams into my head and I lose my grip. He stumbles away, desperate to be free of me. I gain my feet. Tattooed faces stare at us. Every way I turn, coarse black hair, glittering gems and snarling mouths. Far stumbles from the wreckage and roars,
Assassins! Assassins! Defend your king!
The Ascomani gape. Two of the least drunk uncoil their long bodies, grab their spears, and come for me. But they are unsteady, unprepared, and I am the breath of stone. I flow through them instead of chewing into them. I turn a spear thrust up with Pyrophorus and disembowel the brave with Bad Lass as I pass. The second I dodge and disarm to leave for Severo or Cassius. Three more try to arrest my progress. I weave through them without slowing down to kill. My friends follow behind, guarding my back. Far leaps onto another part of the feast. I follow and land on a table hard enough to split the wood. Ascomani fall back from me. I crash into Far and send him stumbling through a bonfire. Flaming logs roll in every direction.
Confess! I roar. You are a pet to a gold. You are the hand of Atlas Aldar.
Far shoves men in my path to use as human shields, hoping to tangle my blades in their bodies. It almost works. With Pyrophorus buried in the chest of one, I take a huge blow from his war sword to my left shoulder that knocks me sideways and into the table and a mess of bodies. Far levers down with all his strength, trying to press his war sword through my armor. The saw gnaws through Ascomani in the way, through my armor and into the flesh of my left tricep, before I slide underneath and battle him back. We smash through great spits of meat and over-drunken braves, like lions fighting in the midst of startled oxen. Far knows he can't win, not even fueled by stims, so he pushes a giant Ascomani into my path, roars a laugh of triumph, and takes off into the sky. The Ascomani is as tall as Far and freakish with muscle and scars. An unbound mane of black hair falls to his low back. He is unarmored, like the rest, but he carries a terrible spear and shield with a massive snake skull surmounted on the front. The Ascomani chant the warrior's name.
Ur! Ur!
Ur's eyes flick to the slingblade shape of Pyrophorus, to the blue paint and blood runes glazed on my armor.
Ashvar!
He asks in a thick accent. I nod. He glances after Far, snorts, and sits back down at the table, where he brushes aside a disembodied limb and returns to his drinking. I return to the air and leave the second island in my wake. Jarls and other spectators with grav boots are following us now to watch. It is a spectacle, our hunt. They make a trail of laughter and toasts across the sky. The Ascomani come too, just as interested in the great blood sport. On troop barges and grav skiffs and air sleds, they toss out coarse jests. I catch Far just as he reaches the next island of the archipelago. The island of Artemis is larger than that of Hera and shaped like a crescent, with high cliff walls and an interior dominated by a statue to the goddess Artemis. The statue stands flanked by woodland effigies half a kilometer in height. Drawn by the fighter and the Pandora, braves have left their tables to gather on the edge of the island's cliffs. Far lands amongst them, and has only a few moments to exhort them to attack me before Severo and I send him fleeing to the heart of the island. We catch him there, over the feast, around Artemis's feet. Familiar standards wave there above the long tables. Volk standards. Braves scatter as I pursue Far into their firelit feast grounds. Their moon-pale faces blur together in a sea of stained beards, agape mouths. I hound Far through their ranks. I am no stranger here. For 10 years I led these tribes and these men, on Luna, Earth, Mars, and Mercury. For 10 years they trudged with me through the ruins of gold cities, through rain and sleet and mud and desert heat and mining tunnels, we marched together toward victory. They do not mistake me now, as I battle Far from one end of their feast to the other, whipping him before me like a beast of burden. He stumbles. He roars for aid. None comes. They see the paint of Ashvar on our armor. They see the curve of my blade. Tir Morga has come, and the Volk seem ashamed of being found here by me like this. This time I let Far go when he realizes there is no shelter here under the protection of the Volk. He takes to the air yet again, and mistakes the spectators trailing my hunt for allies in his fight. He flies to them, and they shoo him away and shout, Ashvar! Severo and Cassius kill those few who try to intervene, but most have just come to watch the hunt. In his desperation, Far heads for the next island on the archipelago chain. The braves on the ground stare at me in awe and bewilderment. I pitch my head back and howl again. Amplified by the speakers in my armor, joined by Severo's and Cassius's, the howl resounds over the feast and is picked up by many of the spectators in the sky. I follow after Far and give the man no respite. By the time he makes it to the next island, I am his shadow. He steals a pulse fist and fires to no avail. Across the feast I pursue him. His death is already written. All he can do is draw it out. I harry him, island to island, over rock-built citadels and elegant moonlit shrines, through dark upland groves and fire-lit plateaus, where standards of Volk tribes wag in the evening breeze, hunting him, mocking him, whittling away the warlord's myth until he becomes a disgusting, limping grotesquerie, so all can see the craven heart of the man who killed Queen Sephi just to call himself king.